Blog Talk Radio.
Well, once again, welcome to another lively broadcast of Life Success Radio. And as we like to say, welcome to the future. Now, let us get ready, let us get serious, and have a real conversation, because every week we have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday serious conversations around different topics pertaining to the days that are A-specific to the people who will be invited to speak and be interviewed by myself. So before I go into monologue of what's going on here, I want to open in a prayer, and please join me, if you will, and note that we want to make sure that we ask God for assistance so we don't have anything negative in our way in terms of those people who are devil worshipers and live like the devil. We want to avoid those every chance we can. So in Arabic, I'll say it. And in English, I'll say it just so you'll know we're talking some good language. It's not something that is like gibberish, right? This is actual Arabic. And here we go. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahir rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman Nir-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladzina An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin. I'll translate from the Arabic to English, and what it says is, we seek refuge, or I seek refuge with God from the cursed devil Satan, with the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to God, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us a straight way, the way on those who thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray in their service to you. Amen or Amen. My name is Halim Mustafa, Dr. Halim Mustafa, but I also utilize the name of Halim the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. Now, I want to say that this particular show, Life Success Radio, is sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the American classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. Now, take a note to say that the owner of that company is the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. And his name is Professor. I call him Professor. He's PhD with a whole lot of alphabets by his name. So for me, it's simple to say the Professor. So the Professor is Marshall Cavendish Washington Abui, and he has all these names, which is tied to his ancestry. So it's not made-up names. It's actually his family history legacy. And so I just really want to just make note of that. Okay, so Monday's shows, which is like today, the show would be actually senior moments, like senior citizen having memory lapse moments. But this won't be a memory lapse. It'll just be senior moments with the slogan or theme, WISE, W-I-S-E, life teachers. So senior citizens are really wise life teachers if we take time to listen and learn from them, if we can. If you're not stuck on the stupid, you will learn something from them. Now, Tuesday shows, we have modern day achievers, easy, like E and Z, easy generation. And the slogan is smart minds making waves to the future. Smart minds making waves to the future. Now, that particular group on Tuesdays is young people under 30, period. And we discuss matters of what it's like, career pathways and other conversations of interest of the young people that are in that age range, right? And then on Wednesdays, we have a special show which is open-ended for age unlimited, and it's called Blessed to be Blessed. And the slogan is Miracle Warriors, Living the Dreams, Living the Career Dreams Without Excuses. And what we're saying there, these are pretty much business-minded people. And so there's young people who go in business and make a lot of money, and there's old people who go into business later in life and make a whole lot of money. So we want to make sure we can have them to share their blessed to be blessed experiences with you. Now, today we had a special program for Monday set, but the gentleman that was going to speak, he actually had surgery this morning, so he's going to reschedule. And his name is Mr. Johnson, and he's a Houston, Texas historian. And so he's like 74, something like that. And I met him on the bus that day, so he says this morning when we spoke, he says that he definitely wants to speak, but he got to go deal with surgery. And so he's going to be available on the 20th of November, which would be Monday. Now, I want to just give a little surmise as to the last week's show we had. It was very, very, very good, and we actually are getting a lot of interest of people to fill up the schedule. And we will speak to, we'll have anybody want to come speak a word of truth to young people. That's what their main concern is. And if we don't say to young people, we won't have a future. And if we don't have a future, America will not be great, because black people, such as myself, African American, our ancestors built this country from slave ancestry, building up all the plantations and growing all the food and stuff. And everything that you could imagine of work on the farm to do, my ancestors actually had to do that for free for over 300 years, right? And so we're working on some things to get ourselves out of that slave mind, but it still affects us after so many years of being a slave. We still have some tendencies to want to be slaves again, just because it's a psychological warfare when you take a person from their country and you dismantle their culture. And then you put on another culture that maybe is like not them, but you say it is them, because now we, as black people here, we are all Americans, and we accept that. But the fact is that we were really made in America through the experiences of slavery, so we're like a brand new people on planet Earth. So let me give you this insight. African American, blacks, Negroes, whatever you want to call us as a people, we are the newest people on the planet, short of the test tube babies that they're making right now for deep space travel. And we're talking about those people who consider themselves white and privileged. They are taking on a whole can of worms I wouldn't want to be a part of, because when you start playing with God's kingdom, thinking that you can create life like you want it, then what you're doing with this artificial insemination, which is unnatural in the first place, and then you making babies that might have three legs and two eyes, I mean one eye and a big old tail like the devil, right? Because you're playing with something that is outside of what is, you know, that's God's work. You can't be getting in God's work. Yeah? So you're taking on a role that is not yours. So I just know that you're looking to either become a devil or some kind of horny toad frog or something. But you're going to be something that's not a human being. I know that's for sure. So in any event, we had on Monday, we had John Ray, a friend of mine, and he spoke for, you know, a good period of time, and it was very, very insightful, a lot of things that he shared about our lives together. Sometime when you grow up and you have childhood friends, you know, the best thing to do is to keep your friends forever because, you know, you don't understand the importance of a friend until you don't have one. And you don't never want to be without a friend. You always want to have a friend in your life, one that you can trust and one that, you know, that trusts you. And you know, that's just the fact of life. You don't want to be out here with no friends. And then we had a gentleman named Art Fuller. He was a senior citizen. He was filling in for the Easy Generation, but he had a message talking to the young people about how he actually prepared himself to be competitive in everything he did as a businessman, as an inventor, as a mathematician, and him actually programming the first computers in America way back, which he said was like two floors, like building floors, like a big building. He said there was like the basement and the first floor and then an upper floor. So at least three floors to put one computer. These are like some gigantic computers, right? So that's interesting. Now we are moving on to what is going to be this week, well, tomorrow. I had a wonderful call just before getting on air here today from a young man I met on the bus. His name is Billy Maux, M-E-A-U-X. That's a French name, but I don't know how to speak French, but parlez-vous français? Or how about this? Give me some French fries. Yeah. No, French fries, that's like, oh, we changed the name from French fries to American fries. Remember that when you had the war happening in Iraq? Some of the smart Congress people, dumb person people, they challenged the name of French fries to American fries. Don't make no sense. But anyway, Mr. Billy Meox, he's 27 years old, and he drives for the Texas Metro Transit Authority. So he's going to be joining us tomorrow as part of the discussion. And I would say you have a chance, you should call in and listen and make some comments to him as well. Now, let me give you the number for the call-in, which you have, but somehow, sometimes people forget. So here goes. We have, aside from Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday shows, we have a Saturday evening show with Booker T. Washington Speaks. And Booker T. Washington Speaks, I actually assist the host and moderator, who is the great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. As I mentioned, I call him the professor. And so his show comes on at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and goes on for 2 hours up until 11 Eastern Standard. And so you can call this number of 657-383-0671. Repeat it, 657-383-0671, and that gets you access to actually speaking, talking with people, and it's really a nice situation to engage in because there's like a metaphorical living room sitting by the fireplace and drinking non-alcoholic beverages and being very sober-minded, talking about some serious things that we have to address. Very critical. Now, I'm going to give you an example of some serious thing we have to address. We really, really have to address this one. This is very personal to me, and it might be personal to you as well, but let's go. Here it goes. So Wednesdays, we have a gentleman that I went to school with way back, and his name is Scott, Leonard Scott. And our families way back in East Palo Alto, California. We actually, we were like a little neighborhood, so we played baseball together, football together, basketball, and all these different sports things. And some of us focused academically. I didn't, unfortunately. But most of us were athletes, and the last poet talked about us. It says, play basketball, football, and baseball while the European man, but he said the white man is cutting off your testes, or whatever these things is. I know what they are, but I'm trying not to talk, you know, directly to them. But we were so much in sports that we overlooked our own need, and they were like, we were being, what you might say, when people cut your testicles off and make you they kind of make you lose what you have as man strength, and then all of a sudden you just got some strength that's just kind of normal. So we have to balance our lives off and focus with some academics in that mix, because just sports alone will not get you the throne of dignity, not here in America. Now, I don't know where else you can get, like, you know, throne of a dignity and just do one thing, like be an athlete, right? So here we go. So here goes. The idea for Wednesday's show with Leonard Scott is going to be under Blessed to be Blessed, Miracle Warriors Living the Dream Without Excuses. That's going to be on this Wednesday, right? The topic is going to be parenting, and we're going to address parental tips on raising our next generation of thinking minds. And I want to say, first of all, there was a young lady that gave me a really good insight to format, and so I'm taking to heart what she said. Judy, I appreciate you, if you're listening, for your giving me that outline thought, and we have implemented it, and it's working well. So I appreciate you, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. So the parenting discussion will be on parental tips on raising our next generation of thinking minds. Now, we say grandparents and guardians and extended family members are included, because parenting, even though, you know, and I'm talking from experience as a father with daughters and son and so forth, parenting is a communal responsibility, because the children, the grandchildren, they all represent the family legacy, and if we just let them run around the town being like monkeys and apes, like many people want us to be like, you know, I'm just say it like this, many white people think that black people are monkeys and apes, and so they call us these names only to try to make us think that we're monkeys and apes, but we're really not. We're human beings, right? But the monkeys and apes historically were white people in the caves of the Caucasoid Mountains. But we're not going there to cause problems. But if you want to talk about the truth, the truth is the truth. You can't change the truth. It's a fact, right? So the idea is that we have questions of concern, and you can call in and talk to your questions and concerns as well. Here's one question. Are black women, mothers, grandmothers, guardians, and extended family members, etc., raising our men children to be women children? That's a question mark. Number two, it says, are defensive interactions by black mothers, wives, grandmothers, guardians, extended family members, etc., helpful or harmful when non-argumentative discussions are presented as man energy, represented by black fathers, husbands, grandfathers, etc., gets into the discussion? See, because I find, unfortunately, when, you know, I have, like, you know, grandsons and granddaughters, and there's a different temperament of the sons versus the granddaughters, right? They're a little bit more soft at heart, so they'll listen to grandpa with no problem. Sometimes a little. My grandsons and so forth, they kind of be a little manhood, want to challenge grandpa, want to challenge daddy, whatever. So we have to, as men, sometimes we got to bring out that man energy, that you know you in trouble, man. If I put it on you, you're gonna be down for the count. But I don't abuse children, so I'm gonna spank you, or I'm gonna talk to you. But it's my right to spank you. Now, you don't think because they go to school and they say I can't spank you, because you get spanked in my house. And any house that I have, well, my daughter, my wife, anybody in my family, I'm going to come see you because you're not a grown person. So this is the kind of thing. See, that man energy, when it stands up, the little young men who are like, you know, learning how to be a man, they kind of like, okay, this is grandpa talking or this is my daddy talking, so let me listen. Sometimes they don't listen, right? And that's when the man energy have to put the belt on their butt, right, or sit them in the corner. Now, there's something before I go further with these particular things we do. There is, in Africa, there's a well-known that the elephants, the young elephants and the elder elephants, is that the elder elephants have to train the younger elephants how to not destroy the forest, right? Because the young elephants come in and they're just like trying to mess up everything. They're having fun picking up trees and throwing the trees at each other. You know, they had a capacity, but, you know, they don't really throw them, but they tear them down and stuff, mess up the forest. So the modeling has to be done by the grown elephants or the bull elephants. So they show the young elephants who are future bulls that you got to be a responsible bull, not just a bull that's just tearing up things, because we can live here still. It's our neighborhood, right? All right, so that's very important. So we have continued discussions. We talk about, finally, what is the solution to ensure communication quality is maintained by all interested parties in the success development of the black families' precious assets, which is found in the minds and hearts of all of our black children. I'm going to say that one more time, because this is a fact, that these children are precious gifts or assets from God to us, and they're only alone, and they're not, they don't belong to us. They're only given to us as a temporary, what you might say, that we actually prove to God Almighty that we understand the importance of life, and so we do everything we can to ensure the kid is imbued, filled with the joy of love, filled with the nurturing of a grandma, a grandfather, a mother, a father, a cousin, an uncle, everyone who understands that beauty and that power of that next child generation leadership, whether it's a man or a woman. We have to appreciate those gifts as gifts from God, and that's a fact. So basically, I'll say it again. So finally, what is the solution to ensure communication quality is maintained by all interested parties? In the success development of the black family's precious assets or gifts, which is found in the minds and hearts of all of our black children, right? Number four, this is a continuation. Bottom line, are we babysitting them too much, away from them learning how to make decisions and take responsibility for the outcomes, good or bad, that they do? Right? Because eventually, at some point, we all got to take responsibility for the things that we do. And that's just life. Everyone has, you know, not going to be perfect, has made a mistake, and will make more mistakes. But you have to take ownership to the mistakes you make. And when doing so, you show a level of maturity. And so this question is referencing is that are we babysitting our young men and our children, but the young men more specifically, too much in steering them away from learning the valuable lessons of decision making and the beauty of taking responsibility for the outcomes. Now, I say this because what if, for example, you made an outcome of something that you didn't know it was going to happen, but it happened so well that you made $1 million, okay? So would you want that outcome to be known, that is your outcome? I would think so. So the idea is that you never know where opportunity will fall, and it will fall as long as you are moving forward toward your future. And so no young person I know comes out of the baby tunnel from the mother, right, and is crawling backwards like, you know, like a turtle crawling backwards or sideways. Now, they be moving forward, so they be moving it forward. Let me get on the floor and scamper away. I'm going forward. They don't want to go backwards or sideways. So We cannot be sidewinders and we cannot be backtrackers. No sidewinders and no backtrackers. That's the rule. That's not what we made up. That's just what God put in our nature, right? Right. We're not snakes, right? We're not people who live on telling people lies. Like there's some people who really like to lie because it makes them stronger. When they lie to people, they can divide people. And once the lie happens, you know, the person told a lie has to keep telling them a lie. And one of the lies that happened in this country here is that white people told black people that they were God and that they are our God. And in slavery, they really had us so discombobulated that we believe that my grandfather used to tell me this, that the white man ice is cold there. And what he was telling me in a metaphor, and he told me this was real in terms of in Tucson, Arizona, the Iceman would come, a white guy and a black guy with two different trucks pushing the ice carts. And all of the people would run to the white man's ice and say that the ice was colder by the white man. Now, that's really weird because it's the same cart that was connected to the other, but from one side you can go in and get the black man's ice, and the other side you can go in and get the white man's ice. But the people that were going there, they were saying the white man's ice is colder. Now, how much more stupider, and I shouldn't say that word stupid, but how much more brainwashed could you be than to think like that? That the ice at the same ice box, ice refrigerator, right? That the ice is colder because it's the white man's ice? Wow, we done went a long way. But let me just bring this to another point. I need to say this. Now, I made a commitment to say this every day of my life. Just like Paul Mooney said, he said that word N-I-G-G-E-R. He said because it makes his teeth white. That's what Paul Mooney said. He said, I say it like, he said that word like that, like he's a typewriter. But he says he say it because it makes his teeth whiter. Now, that's weird. But then basically what he was saying that is that, you know, white people have been calling us that so much, so long. We have accepted it to some degree. And so let's make an acceptance of it. I'm not saying to do that, though. But his thinking was, let's make an acceptance of it, but let's use it as a joke and just say to people, hey, I'm bad if that's what you want to be, and I'm doing it because my teeth is being whitened. Every time I say it, I'll be at whiter teeth, high like that, bright smile, okay? So, but I don't believe that we should use that word myself personally because the word is not really tied to a race of people. It's really tied to a tool that they use in the wood mills, and that tool is called a nigger tool, not necessarily the Niger River like in Africa where white people really got that word nigger, thinking it was like, you know, nigger black, like they wanted to make it like that. But Niger River, which is a whole other thing. But some people were so ignorant they said like nigger with river because they couldn't really spell that much, and they came from. They didn't come from like privileged white folks. They were like poor white folks running from the king of England and the persecution of them as, I'll start with a P, Puritans, right? Puritans, right? So in any event, the idea of this, a tool, let's call it nigger tool, and it actually holds a in place on the lathe, the tool that holds the wood in place, so when you do your planing with it or whatever you're doing to make designs with it, it will not wobble and mess up. So a nigger is a tool that is really almost like a useless tool, useless, but it is useful because you put it in place and it holds the other wood so the wood doesn't move. So everything is useful in that sense, but they made it like a black thing in an inside joke saying that the nigger tool was useless like the so-called nigger, excuse my language, in the slave experience. But so we proved again that we're not useless because we helped to make this country really strong, and it's been proven so many times over and over again. And I'm going to give you two examples of what I'm talking about, all right? Now, let me say before, this is Dr. Halim Mustafa, Halim the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, coming to you live from Life Success Radio. Welcome to the future. Let's get serious and have a real conversation. This weekly show is sponsored by Reality Books, who actually present CEO is the Dr. Brooke Washington's senior great grandson, Marshall Washington Abui. It's so long a name. He got more names than I got alphabets in my mind to remember. But it's all good because he's a very much knowledgeable man. And I tell you, without him, I probably wouldn't be as far as I am today. He's actually helped me in so many different ways. By being a wise man, he helps me to be a wiser young man. And that's how we learn the system. Somebody got to pass it forward, and he's passing it forward, but he's older than me, but he's passing it backwards, but he's passing it forward because I'm going to pass it forward to my children. And we're going to start this thing called passing it forward. It's called success. So, okay, here it goes. So we actually have this show that comes on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the Senior Moments is the Monday show. Starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it lasts for 2 hours. And the Tuesday show is the Modern Day Achievers Easy Generation. Slogan is Smart Minds Making Ways to the Future. And that comes on the same time, as I said before, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we have the Wednesday shows, which is called Blessed to be Blessed, Miracle Warriors, Living the Dream Without Excuses, right? Now, you have to think about this because in the idea of business, just like love, it's a battleground, right? That means that you got to know how to, you know, find the love in your life by taking a bath or shower and, you know, putting some nice cologne on and comb your hair and brush your teeth and stuff and make sure you have some mouthwash so your breath don't stink like a bunch of, cow manure. Right, because girls don't like that, and vice versa, girls, you got bad breath too. Don't think because the guy's got bad breath and you can talk about it, it's easy. Your breath stinks too. You're a human being, and it happens if you don't brush your teeth and put some mouthwash in your mouth and take a bath. So it's like we have to take a bath or a shower, whatever, but you got a responsibility too. Because the cleaner you are, the cleaner I am, the cleaner we can hold each other's hand and we can walk in matrimony land together. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. Just think about it. Fall in love with a girl of your life, of your choice, man, and she can cook good, like, better than your mama can, and she can, like, probably beat you running and playing tennis. Oh, this brings me to another story. This is weird. Okay. Wow, this is embarrassing. I got to tell you, though. Okay. My wife, I'm married. Okay, it's my second wife. My childhood first love, we hung out for, like, 4 years, high school, and then, like, when I played professional baseball, I didn't make it in professional baseball, and things changed a little bit for me. Not necessarily for her, but for me. And she might have changed, too, because she told me, go away, little boy. Go away, little boy. I'm not supposed to be in love with you anymore because you don't have no money. That's what she told me. It's a song that Nancy Wilson made, too, and I'm going to have to go talk to her about that song. Retract that song. I enjoyed the friendship for 4 lovely years. And so after professional baseball, we separated our own ways. But then I met my current wife. And so I'm married 37 years now. 37 years, right. Wow, time go by. So anything, I'll be 38 years coming up this December 30th, 2017. And so when I met her, you know, she was out playing tennis. And I'm an athlete, so I'm a former baseball player. And we went out to play tennis. I'm going to show off. This girl whooped me all over the court, man. She would hit these crossing shots, bang, and other shots. And bang. Oh, man, I said, baby, wait. I'm trying to play the love game, and you're playing, like, real serious, right? But she's just an athlete. She ran track, and I didn't know I had all that, man. But, gee, this woman was tougher than tough. Man, but I love her, okay? Because, listen, you black man. A young man, or any young man, doesn't matter. You want a woman that's strong and durable and knows how to, if she need to put some dukes on you, yeah, you need to get that too. Because when they'll punch you out if you're acting wrong. And so I'm just telling you, never fight your woman. Never raise your voice to her. Just say, you're right, honey. You're right. Now, take it from an OG XXX, I'm telling you this fact. Let her win the arguments every time. If you want to eat dinner tonight on time without getting delayed and going to have to go to McDonald's or something or eat out the garbage can, then you better be nice and say, yes, ma'am, how you doing, baby? You know, all those nice things that you think about, you know, you treat her like that. And I think the Temptations had a song called Treat Her Like a Lady. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a better song. Treat her like a lady, okay? Because she is definitely worthy of that because she's your queen of your throne. Now, if you don't take her to queen of your throne's going to be like really, really like, who's going to come around your throne and stinking like because you don't take care of your throne? So you take care of your wife, your girlfriend, and I would like to say get away from girlfriends unless it's just like casual friends with no sex involved. But just the ideas of, you know, you guys go to each other's houses and talk to the parents and make sure that the parents know that you guys are not looking to have any babies, so you're not having any sex. But when you get ready to, says, may I marry your daughter? If you're 15, say, I'd like to marry your daughter. I'm 16, I'm 17, but I'd like to marry your daughter because I really want to take care of her, like, sure, because she's, I'm so in love with her, right? So I will let you marry my daughter if you came to me like that. But if you came to me and tried to steal my daughter from me, I'm going to have to come at you with a baseball bat because, man, listen, you cannot take what's mine. God gave it to me and my wife, not to you, to abuse. Because a lot of times these young men get these young girls and they abuse them. They abuse them like they're like, well, I'm not going to say the word prostitutes or whatever, but they try to put them on that level where they treat them like they're like, you know, they try to break them down like Iceberg Slim talked about, break them down where that they feel so, you know, so unwanted that they cry every time, and then you comfort them, and then you say, go make me some money, right? That's a pimp 101 philosophy, and we got to get out of that because these women, our women, my daughter, your soon-to-be daughter one day maybe, or you may have a son, but if you have a daughter, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want your daughter to be out here being pimped by no sucker, you know? Now, this is what I said. It's not illegal conversation on this radio, on this phone call. This is just some things that I just want to let you know. Life is serious. So as we have discussions, we're going to talk about all kind of serious things. And we have to do this in order to show that we are growing maturer and responsible for what we do. So let me see if I can go somewhere else with some conversation. I'm looking here. Okay. Oh, here we go. So we have, we're doing a couple of things. On Saturday, 12 o'clock my time here in Houston, which would be 1 o'clock in the East Coast and 10 o'clock on the West Coast. There's a phone number I'd like to give you, and if you take it down, and I'll tell you what will entail that phone call, the importance of it. So you want to dial area code 641-715-0700. I'll repeat it, 641-715-0700. And you want to put a PIN number in of 294536 pound. I repeat the PIN number, 294536 pound. Now, what you'll be chiming into on Saturdays with this call at the time zone you have, we are moving on a plan of action. You might say a POA. A plan of action, that's a military code. It's also a police code, too, a police officers association. But I got this from a man that's really wise, and he taught me that he uses this for the military planning, and he called it POA, a plan of action. So he said you always have to have a plan of action. If you don't have a plan of action, you're going to be missing something, and you might lose your life. It's that serious. So you got to have a plan that's proactively structured. So, so what we're doing is that we actually have a plan of action to address reversing gentrification. And gentrification is what is known as stealing black people's land by people who got money and privileged white skin. They come in the neighborhood and they take all the economic engines out of the neighborhood, stores, banks, etc. And therefore, the people have no way to spend their money locally. And then the people get used to going outside of the city and spending their money in other neighborhoods. And then it's just a matter of time before they close the door and raise what is the interest rates on certain loans that were outstanding. And they have other ways to manipulate the economy. But the bottom line, they're doing it for the purpose of stealing black land that was given to us. Let me take that back. My grandfather bought his. He bought his. And we didn't get that 40 acres and a mule. I almost thought we did, man. It seemed like we did, but we didn't. Hey, you owe us our 40 acres and a mule, America. Donald Trump. specifically now, if you want to do a good deed, sir, you should give us our 40 acres of mule because that's earned. We earn that. We got back pay coming on top of that. So that means that we have 40 acres. I want two times it. So I want 80 acres and four mules for me, personal, and to give it to everybody else that I'm representing as an ethnic cultural group. So gentrification is something really cruel. It takes and dismantles communities, families, and people, and puts them in isolated lifestyles, and many sometimes end up homeless, right? And so some people think it's okay to take somebody else's house and let them live on the street. And would you do that to, say, your doggy? I know a lot of white people treat dogs better than human beings. They got these dogs with beds, with golden sheets, and these diamond bowls to eat out of and stuff. Man, come on, man. Something's ridiculous. A dog don't know what a diamond bowl is. All you're doing is getting your own erotic side, motivated because you know you got an erotic dog and you erotic person over a dog or a cat or a rat or whatever you like as an animal. That's cool, but animals are animals. They're not human beings. Now, you treat the animal better than you do a person. So turn that diamond watch in, and hold on, please. I had to go get the door here. I'm at home here doing a little babysitting. Yeah, I'm domesticated. My wife made me domesticated, and I don't mind that. I love her for doing that, to teaching me how to live on the, go from living on the streets homeless and then come home and then show me how to fall in love again with her again, and that's all good. So you never know where you're going to end up at, but just know that God is in control. And if you don't know that, you will know soon enough that you don't control nothing. You are just thinking you're in control, but you're under remote control of the universal creator who got a string on your brain, a string on your thinking, and a string on your vision or whatever you think that you got all come from God. So, okay, so where was that there? Okay, so I guess the point is this. The job of what we need to do for helping America be great again is to establish or support our current efforts to host the Dr. George Washington Carver National Recognition Day activities all across America so we can talk about his life, legacy, and legend and what he did and what he meant to America in helping us eat better, live better in so many different areas. Now, historically, people want to give reference to him as being only the peanut man, and that might be fine, but listen, you got to know Dr. George Washington Carver was bigger than that, because not only did he make, like, say, the idea of refining the peanut butter, but he made mock chicken out of peanut butter. He made he made peanut butter cookies. That's the easy one there. But he made peanut milk, too, where he saved over 2 million starving babies in Ghana with peanut milk before it was popular like you have at the stores with almond milk now and walnut milk and all this other kind of milk. Dr. Carver made the idea of peanut milk. Now, he also did some other things that were extraordinary. He actually took a barren land that couldn't grow no more food because it was overgrown with cotton, which took all the nutrients out the soil. And so he had a system to replenish the nutrients in the soil by planting soybeans and other legumes into the soil and let them renitrate the soil so the food production becomes more abundant. And that's how he helped the South's agriculture. It's important you understand this. So Dr. Carver not only helped the South agriculture, he helped the whole world eat better and live better and think about how you treat plants, because he was known as a plant doctor, and he would talk to plants like I'm talking to you, but he would say it more nicer, like, hey, plant, can you tell me what do you have inside there? Are you going to be able to feed us this day here? Because we want our daily bread. So he would talk different ways. I don't know if he said what I just said, but, you know, he was known as a plant doctor. And you can visit YouTube and see a song that Stevie Wonder made on him called The Secret Life of Plants and see exactly what I'm talking about. So Dr. Carver, he was never given a Nobel Peace Prize. And so when I found out about his federal holiday, in 1999, somewhere in California where I was, you know, at the time, we launched this program called the Carver Scholars Program in Silicon Valley, Santa Clara, and had a very successful model that became the National Initiative for STEM, which is Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. So that initiative that we had for STEM was tied to Dr. George Washington Carver's Federal Recognition Day, which was really a holiday if you think about that period of time, because unfortunately at that time, a lot of white people were not allowing black people to get their inventions passed by the patent office, and so they were still our inventions. And they would take them inventions for themselves and make a whole lot of money. And still today, they have not paid back any of the proceeds. And we're hoping, with your help, the public, we can bring attention to the fairness of what is right by making Dr. Doris Washington Carver January 5th event and celebrations very, very connected to everything we do in this society. See, we need to talk about the life, legacy, and legend of Dr. George Washington Carver and what he meant to America and what he meant then and what he meant today. Henry Ford was a wise man who recognized his talent and utilized what Dr. Carver did with synthetic rubber and plastics and paints. And there's so much more to be said, but I won't go into a lot of detail. So we're going to just kind of continue to go. And my format change has been a result of me talking with a young lady named Judy, and she's very, very smart, bright lady, Tuskegee graduate. And I'm just letting her know through this call. I'm going to call her later and let her know I thank her for the format, because we'll be using that format from here on out. So Judy, thanks again. And I want to say to you, this is Haleem, the Dream Builder, Dr. Self-Esteem, coming to you live here from my home here with my wife in my studio. And my wife, she gets my heart. And I love her so much. I love her so much. I'm in love with my wife. I really am in love with my wife. After. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something, guys. Listen, in life with your spouse, you got to have fun. You cannot be a stiff neck when you have a wife that loves you. Yeah, you got to reciprocate the love, right? Like I think Donny Hathaway says, "Where is the love? Where is the love? You said to give to me, sooner you were free. Where is the love?" Okay, love is everywhere. But if you find a good woman, brother, and you got her, and she tells you she loves you, you better believe that woman, because she ain't wasting her time. She done chose you before you chose her. Just know that's a fact, brother. Now, if she chose you before you chose her, just say, hey, I'm a blessed man, and take that blessing to heaven with you. And I'm not talking when you die. I'm talking about you living right now on earth is heaven. So heaven up to you who understands. Heaven is having a woman that's so precious. She's more precious than gold, and that's my wife, and her name is Lavivia. So don't come to my house knocking on my door either, because if you knock on my door, I'm about to get me a baseball bat and come outside and deal with you now, because I love my wife, man. But okay. Listen, life is fun. So what I'm doing now, I'm scheduling other speakers to speak and make presentations and talk about what they do. And the whole idea is how can we inspire the young people under 30, which we call modern-day achievers, and we want to help them by the kind of things that would give them an adult message that would help grow them up quicker. Because there's no way that you keep talking to your grown grandson or your grown son like, baby, 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 baby. And pretty soon all you tell him is baby, baby, baby. And he said, I'm a baby. My mama called me a baby, so I'm still a baby. Let me just start whining and throwing my bottle on the floor and just put a diaper on me sometime, you know, just metaphorically, but not physically, hopefully. But the point I'm saying, the words influence people. So when mama called you baby, you got to say, no, I'm a man. I got a mind, mama, and I'm here to help you, mother. I'm here to help society, mother. I'm not just a baby no more. I used to be a baby, but now I'm a grown-up man, right? because words influence people. That's why with the modern day achievers, we don't never say hello, because that's the devil's language. We say heaven up. So heaven up is a greeting, and when we leave, we say adelante al cielo el futuro, adelante al cielo el futuro, which means forward to the future, modern day achievers, forward to the future, forward to the future. Now, you remember Howard Hughes, he got stuck on the future, forward to the future, forward to the future. Now, I can understand why he got stuck on the future, because the future is so bright sometimes you got to put on glasses. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. My future is so bright because God is in my life, and I have a wife. I'm happily married, and I have my grandchildren, my son and all his children, and everybody that's in my family. That's we all connected again. We were separated because the devil had gotten our way, just like Job. He lost his family, and God gave him all more that he can handle back. Same thing with me. I had my whole family gone, and God blessed me to come back together, and my family, we're all one again. And that's like what it's like, a song that comes to mind for me, like, what is that song called? We Are One by Mays. We are one. Dun, 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 dun. Right, that's a good song. Another one, too, I think Lionel Richie has a really good song. I like that song, too. It's like, Zoom, I like to fly away. I like to fly away, zoom, 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 right? So we have to learn to fly away sometimes so we can come back home. And so when we fly away sometimes, we come back home, and this home, I'm not going to sing this song, but I'm going to tell you, you should really listen to this song. This song is a really spiritual song as I ever heard one, and it's called Home. And check out the one that's by Stephanie Mills where she sings about home. And she talks about this fantastic journey that her and her friends have experienced. Now, I know exactly what she's talking about because I have been on a fantastic journey myself, being homeless for 4 years in San Francisco. And it's not something pretty. It wasn't like I was on vacation, even though I tell people I was on vacation, but I'm really not telling the truth. I was on depression mode because I just had some other thinking in my head. I kind of lost myself for a moment. And you might want to equate that with Peter Pan. When Peter Pan forgot how to smile and became very depressed and was time to feed his friends at the table in the Peter Pan quest, he couldn't make his happy smile, and so therefore he couldn't feed the people because he didn't know how to make magic anymore. And I says, magic, he lost his faith, bottom line. So the point is I want to say to everyone who could hear my voice, I am available to speak to you at any of your venues, and I want to say this to you in who I am, Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. I am Master Inspirational Success Teacher. I am world's greatest inspirational success teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of the famous book called Think and Grow Rich. Now, most people say, how can you be all that? Well, why not? Because everything belongs to God. And if I'm in compliance with God and I'm not taking God and putting him in an image and saying that God is an image and a statue and I could put him in my pocket or throw him on the ground or throw him underneath the water when I want to. See, God is a living source, a living force of energy. And we have to put our minds into that reality and then we'll understand the destiny that will come to us as a result of putting things in perspective. Now, for those that understand the idea, what I'm going to say is that you got a 314, if you get the message, 314. Now, if you don't know what 314 is, call me at this number, area code 650-921-5131. That's area code 650-921-5131. Or you can call my other phone number, too, is at the same area code 650 number 6300063, again 650-630-0063. And also, you know, we have this conference call every Saturday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, and that's 12 noon Central, and that's 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the West Coast. Now, this conference call is a number and a pin. I'll give it to you again for those who come on now. Here it goes. 641-715-0700. Repeat, 641-715-0700. And then you put a PIN number of 294536. That's 294536 pound. And that puts you into the conference call. And the conference call is actually planning a, what is it called, a rethink think tank, a rethink think tank to assist African American black people who come from ancestry of slaves, who unfortunately today are being gentrified right out of existence in our own communities that we had for a lot of years as our slave quarters, but now our slave quarters have turned into some what you might some of you privileged white people have determined as your newest city that you're going to build just because you want to get rid of us. And we know what you're doing. We see those mansions you're building with those walls that are like 20 feet tall. That Facebook guy, he did the same thing, bought up some land and built a wall around the island to block off the natives. That's crazy. Now, how are you going to come into the city because you got money and make your money your god and make you think you can do anything you want to? That's not right. Come on, use your sense, Mark Zuckerberg. I'm really going to say to you that this is a very much a joyous time for me. I'm really a blessed man, and we are doing some things that's going to help this world and society. And we're hoping you can join us at some point as Modern Day Achievers. So the thing is that the best thing to do is to certainly think about what is your gift. And if you, in your message to me, tell me what your gift is. And please let me know that you're under 30, because if you're over 30, I can't deal with you, because I find a lot of people over 30 become very cynical. And the more cynical they get, the more diabolical you behave, because therefore you hate on people just because they are young at heart, and you're old as a fart. So you're so mad at everybody else that now you just see everything that's smiling, you be drive-by shooting them down with your frown, right? So we don't want you people who are over 30 who don't know how to treat young people. Now, if you know how to treat young people, then you could join us, but you cannot lead us. You have to follow us, right? Because this is a mission that young people are leading, and like Michael Jackson says, you got to make a way for the young folk. Yeah, 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 right? So we make a way for young people. We hope that you can join us. Now, I have other pressing business that I'm doing. And so I was going to go longer, but the thing is that we'll actually have our show tomorrow, and we'll have our guest, as I mentioned, a young man who I met at the on the bus here in Texas, and his name is Billy Meaux, M-E-A-U-X, and he's 21 years old. Oh, no, he's 27, right? And he's a driver for the Metro bus service here in Texas, and he's a young man that has a lot of interest in, you know, helping himself and helping other people. So he'll be our guest tomorrow, and we'll have a great time with him as well. And then we'll have on Wednesday, our friend from Las Vegas who will be online, and his name is Leonard Scott, and he and I go way back, you'll find. You know, bottom line is that we're going to be talking about parenting, and the parenting subject, we ask you to join in with us, because, I mean, we all got to parent these children, even if they're not our children. We got to know how to reach them, and we got to stop what is kind of some of the dysfunctional side of these young people, because today, unfortunately, they have anger issues, right? The first thing you say something to them, they get mad at you. And when they get angry, mad, they'll hurt you. You don't trust me. You think these kids are so small, they'll hit you upside the head with a pot or throw some hot water on you, whatever. I'm telling you. So the anger issues of our young people, and I understand them. I do understand them. Because white supremacy is so strong in the environment that these young people are over-inundated with the images, and they're tired of seeing it too. You look at TV, you see all white people, don't see that many black, if any, just athletes on the Sunday and on the basketball day and on baseball, that's limited right now. So the fact is that white supremacy is really taking over this country and world. We got to do something to make it right, because white don't make you right and black don't make you wrong, but being conscious of serving God will get you to the throne. The throne of dignity, the throne of responsibility, and that's what we all have to strive for, not for being white or black or whatever. Just be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. But see, this is a history that we got to talk about as a serious conversation. So I'm going to depart here on this call here. It's about 7, so I'm going to depart with a song, and then I'm going to give a song that I wrote, and then I'm going to give you just one other thing here. So here's a song I wrote that says when I was out of high school, I wrote this song. Called it's called it says I Try to Be a Star. So I wrote this song, and I didn't know I had written. I forgot about it for so many years. And my daughter Dasha, she reminded me one day when she was home from San Diego and going to Stanford to get her physician assistant, which she a degree which she did in 2 years, became a quasi doctor making $70,000 a year as opposed to going to school to be an RN. Right. So anyway, she said, "Daddy, I tried to be a star," and then she started singing to me. I said, "Whoa." Then I started singing it. I remembered it. So here it goes. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to say it. I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, "Man, you ain't." After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I prayed. The Creator opened up the door. The first thing He did was make me strong. And now I know that I belong on earth, so I can give a little more. That's why He opened up the door. There's peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth. He made the sun. He made us all to grow as one. We got to say, our children. So take the time to train your mind to see the signs. Don't ignore them. Our Creator is one. Tell the truth. Our Creator is one. Let's say the truth. I said I will link them. See you next time.